Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Jay Zawoski, joined by Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Hello, fellas. Happy Throwback Thursday. Happy birthday, Steve Larmer. He will be the subject of our Throwback Thursday topic today. We've also got Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final to react to. It lived up to every bit of the hype. And a little programming note, some big news. On Monday's show, we're going to be joined by Turner Sports' Liam McHugh. He's going to join us on the show Monday at 11, so make sure you set a reminder for that. We're going to talk Stanley Cup. We're going to talk broadcast. We're going to talk about all things hockey. I might slip in some Notre Dame conversation there if you guys don't mind a little bit. Thanks.
Nope, not allowed.
Damn it. Oh. All right, fine.
I was going to say go for it, but yeah.
No, it's probably not the best thing to do. Like, we're not niche enough, you know what I mean? I got to throw in another niche team for everybody.
Hey guys. I love this live. I love being live because I made the small mistake of realizing my computer is about to die. So give me 1 second. I'll find my charger.
Yes. Awesome. That's amazing.
Of the power of live YouTube television. I thought I chose the perfect hat for Throwback Thursday. I was like, I don't want to comb my hair. Hey, I've got an Expos hat that fits the theme.
I like it. Yeah, it's a good look. I love
one
the
of
Expos
favorite hats of all time.
I have the Homage brand Expos T-shirt, which is one of my favorites, one of my go-tos. So that's a lot of fun. Well, let's have a meeting with before Mario gets back. Do we want to start with Steve Larmer or do we want to start with Game One?
I think we should start with the Stanley Cup final and you know, go through that and then end on a high note with our good buddy Steve Larmer.
Well, before we even get to the game, watching that whole thing like on social media as a employee of CHGO just made me really excited, because watching everything go down at DNVR is just kind of a window into the future when eventually we do get our sports bar and all those things start to align and the Hawks maybe get good again and become contenders again. Watching the DNVR crew and the fans in the building just lose their minds. I miss that, man. I really miss that drama and the, you know, every second your heart's ripping out of your chest because of stress. And we've seen the Hawks so many times, you know, get out to an early lead and then give it up and then have to get it. Like, man, I was sort of living and dying with our DNVR, compatriots, and it was something, man. That game was everything it was supposed to be and more.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but how about the fact that we purchased Malort for them for their bar,
and they did nice. The shots according to our little chat going on with our buddies. They actually did the shots. Adam believe referred to it as licking a 9-volt battery, but you know, that's the allure. I mean, the one thing I miss, like Malort is the one thing I miss most about drinking. I loved a good shot of Malort back in the day.
So just for people who are listening to the podcast, we sent them four bottles of Malort because they need four more wins. So hopefully last night they finished bottle one and they got three more to go. Or they, you know, they could save one and maybe pour it into the cup if the cup comes to the DMVR bar. That'd
that's gonna cool. just tarnish like all the silver is gonna disintegrate and it's gonna.
No,
it's gonna
what
rust.
That's gonna do is it's gonna kill all the syphilis that cup has over the years.
Thin zone. Well done. Hey, that's Mario's true. Back. Hey,
it's Mario. One of my favorite things is people describing the taste of Malort, and like licking the 9-volt battery is one I hadn't heard before. Somebody on their Twitter yesterday said it's like chewing on a grapefruit rind. Quit complaining, it's not that bad. See, to me, I don't dislike the taste of Malort. What I dislike about it is it won't go away.
Yeah.
No matter Sticks what around. I do, it is there.
It's one of
it
those
is...
things that once you know what's coming, it's quite enjoyable, actually. At least it used to be for me.
It's the 30 minutes after, like Jay said.
Well, you know, if you just keep doing more and more shots, then you don't have to worry about it. You know, what's the perfect Malort chaser? Another shot of Malort.
The last one I did was in this very spot on draft night for the Bears. And because DNVR
is tasting it.
Yeah, because Nick picked the right guy, Kyler Gordon. He had said the Bears were going to take him. Apparently, DNVR, they said, hey, when we pick a correct guy, we do shots of over here, so you guys have to do a shot of Malort. So we got those out, and that was delicious.
Well, you're giving us ideas for our draft show, I guess.
And then we had three more hours of draft show, and I was just sitting here just like trying to lick a wall or something next to me.
Well, since I don't drink anymore, if we're going to do shots, I'll gladly do something that I would find equally as disgusting. If you guys do shots of something, I will do a shot of like pickle juice because that will make me gag. Okay. So I'll take one for the team. If we got to do something terrible, since I don't drink alcohol anymore, I'll do a shot of pickle juice. And then
pickle juice, you won't get cramps if you're drinking your pickle
juice.
That's
true.
But I also don't run marathons, so I don't need it.
Yeah, right. I will. My sacrifice will be I will eat a salad.
Jay,
have I gone too far?
It's not that big a deal.
A taco salad.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We got to ease into it.
Buffalo chicken salad with extra blue cheese dressing, please.
Double fry that shell, please. Yeah. Well, Mario, before you jumped in, we were just sort of talking about watching from afar the DNVR crew celebrate, and now sort of getting to the game, and you know, doing our previews, trying to pick a winner. We saw it. It is going to be like this every game. And it felt like for the first period and a half, maybe not that much, but almost that much, Colorado had Tampa on their heels. They were all over them. And the forecheck was incredible. And the back check that the Avalanche put forth was terrific. There were so many plays that Tampa had ready to make. You know, across, like you could see it. Like your hockey trained brain saw the pass coming, saw the shooting opportunity come, and there was almost always an Avalanche defender there to take that pass away. They played so disciplined in every zone. I think Jared Bednar definitely deserves some credit for the way he coached that game. Yeah. But like Tampa, like The Undertaker, like Jason Voorhees, they are never dead. They're never dead. That game looked
bothered.
Like it looked like a laugher. It looked like a laugher. Vasilevsky was bad. Colorado was all over them, and all of a sudden, it's overtime. It's crazy.
Two goals in what, like a minute or something to tie the game. I mean, anybody who thought the Lightning, like I know we were chatting with some of our DNV people on our Slack last night, and you know when it was 2-0, it was like there were people that were like, "Oh, this series is over." I'm like, "Have you guys watched at all? Like, if you think like Tampa is gonna roll over because they're down two goals after one period of game one, then you deserve the disappointment that this game has to go to overtime." Thankfully for the Denver crew, that overtime didn't last very long.
Nope.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in Chicago going, "I want five overtimes, my friend. I want to
right,
2 o'clock in the morning. I don't give a I want the Avalanche to win for our Denver crew, for the motherland, you know, for our headquarters. It'd be great for them. And I like the team. But overall, I really don't care. If Tampa wins, I'm not going to be brokenhearted. You know, I just want a great series, and so far so good. But I was just like, entertain me. Let's go all night long. You've got 2 days off. There's an extra day off till game two. Play 6 overtimes. And then like a minute and a half in, it's over. I'm like, and Denver's going crazy. The DNVR sports bar's going nuts. I'm going, oh man, I wanted like two more hours of this.
AJ in the chat says game one was chef's kiss good. Hook this up to my veins. Absolutely.
Yeah for sure. Definitely.
I can see it only getting better as these teams get more familiar with each other. And then the chess match of the adjustments start to come in, and you know, we're going to get a different hero every night.
And then the bad blood starts to, starts to come to the surface, and you start getting some chippiness in the series to an extent is always good for a Stanley Cup final. And, these are not two teams that are, battle hardened and, against one another, but it is, it's going to come when the cup is on the line. So it'll be, give it another, another few periods, and the intensity will ramp up. And yeah, I think, Colorado jumped off to the start that they needed. And I mean, you can see how resilient they are to come back and tie the game, force overtime. But I really do think Colorado, game one, it can go either way, but I really do think you saw it last night. At least for me, I saw why, I believe Colorado has enough to get over Tampa in the series.
That's the beauty of, underdog stories are cool. And would the Rangers beating the Lightning be a great story? Yes. But now we get to see the two best teams in the league go at it. And we don't have now a Stanley Cup final like 2014, when it was whoever won between the Hawks and Kings was going to win the cup and they just trounced the Rangers. Now you've got the two best going at it. And one thing that really impressed me about Colorado too is if you were to predict game one scenarios, you would think it would be Tampa the aggressor, Colorado on their heels a little bit. The pressure is kind of on Colorado here. They're at home. They've got the nerves. They've been waiting. They had every excuse to not be ready to come out and start
long
that game.
Layoff.
Yeah, all that stuff. But instead, the script was flipped. And I just could not believe how ready to go the Avs were. And just like, we've said it about them. We talked about it yesterday and kind of throughout the playoffs. Like, it feels like their time. They've had their losses when they were expected to win. They've had their hard lessons, and now it just feels like their time. And look, of course Tampa can win this series, but I just have to say, like, really impressed with Colorado's start, and then to win the game after blowing that lead, that speaks to their resilience as well. Like, a lot of teams would have been spooked by that, right? Oh my God, we were winning, and now it's tied, and oh my God, now we're headed to overtime. Mm-hmm. What do we have to do, to win this game? Nope, right into overtime. They win and they take game one and all's right in their world. And I was just so impressed start to finish with their overall effort. And, that was sort of the fear was, are they going to get in their heads a little bit here? But they haven't all playoffs. And that's kind of been the difference between this year and years past.
Yeah. We talked about it in our lead up, previewing the series earlier this week. They haven't really faced too much adversity, in the three series as previously before getting to the cup final, but they haven't faced that much adversity because they've just been able to steamroll teams, sweeping Nashville and sweeping Edmonton. So I think it's a lot of it is now not a lack of facing adversity, but just an abundance of belief that, hey, we're just some badass team and we can handle anything thrown at us and not needing to have to overcome something, just knowing like, hey, we could stop something from getting to that point where we need to overcome it. And I think it's just it's a loaded Colorado team, a loaded Tampa team, but I think it's a Colorado team that truly believes this is their time.
It just goes to show you the depth of the two teams. We've talked about all the superstars that both these lineups have, and it's Burakovsky with the game winner in overtime. Just his second goal of postseason. He had a pretty good regular season. He's no slouch, but he's not the McKinnons or the McCars or the Stamkos, one of the superstars. So that just goes to show you, and that's why, as I said earlier, there's going to be a different hero every night because these two teams are so deep and so they do so well. But I was watching the game last night with my better half and Mikhail Sergachev, who's scored a goal in this game has had some big goals in the last couple of games. Soon as he tried to make that pass up the middle of the ice, I was like, what are you doing? And then 5 seconds later, the game is over. It's like, my guy, never, ever, ever go up the middle unless you've got somebody there, especially in overtime of a Stanley Cup final game. It was like one of the, like, obviously the dumbest play of the game, but uncharacteristically of these two teams. Yeah. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. And there it was. The mistake, and Colorado, like championship teams will do, when you make a mistake like that, they kill you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I just, when that play unfolded and he had it right in between the dots and he decides to pass up the middle of the ice, I was like, no, anywhere but there. Yeah. And then sure enough, 5 seconds later, game's over. It was kind of perfect that that picture Lawrence had on the screen. There's Sergachev.
Yeah,
in the foreground, yeah. Going, yeah, I probably shouldn't have made. Yep, there he is. However you say, I shouldn't have passed it up the effing middle in Russian is. That's what he's thinking to himself right there.
We saw Braden Point make an uncharacteristic mistake too. I think it was the Landeskog goal. I think that's the one where he sort of half-assed a pass and it got picked off and led to a rush the other way. That's not something you typically see from Tampa. And the other thing that surprised me, and you know, I think that the 5-on-3 penalty to Makar was kind of he went down a little bit easily. I could see why John Cooper
might have been offside. Like the play might have been able to have been blown before that even. And yes, he did go down. Oh, there's a stick on my foot. I better fall on my face. But yeah. That's part of the game.
But it's rare to see John Cooper blow his top like that. And there were a few moments last night where he was losing his cool. And I think you have to wonder, and look, we're probably making way too much of one game. But it's all we have to go off. Like, I wonder if the Tampa players look back and see, like, oh my God, like, Coop is losing his mind here. Is he worried? He seems worried. You know, like, that's something they're not used to seeing.
But apparently they weren't that worried because they were down 3-1 when he lost his cool after that penalty.
Yeah.
And they came back and tied the game in the second period. So obviously maybe that's something that actually has the exact opposite effect on that team, because he's usually so calm and nothing phases him. And when they see him get fired up, they're like, oh, we need to do something in a hurry here because this is not normal.
Yeah it works as like an activator.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Quinville yelling at the refs was nothing new. That wasn't going to get anybody, you know, when a penalty happened against you and he didn't grab his nuts until the ref the ball. Then you're like, hey, what's going on here?
He's not grabbing his nuts. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God, we're screwed. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was an awesome game one. I can't wait to see what the rest of the series brings. It's going to be fantastic. And, boy, the Avs are so fun. Tampa, obviously. Great, great, great team. But Colorado was just so freaking fun to watch. And the atmosphere there was unreal.
Speaking of atmosphere, I thought I'd try and find the video from the DNVR bar. I'm going to see if we could share that right now.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I could do that. Open. No, I don't want to do that. Oh, we'd like to record. I got to open the system preferences. Oh, boy.
More live production for you're getting major peaks behind the curtain today. But while Lawrence is doing that, I made an observation last night that I wanted to share because I thought it was kind of made too much sense and kind of funny. I know Ball has got the naming rights of the arena there, and I'm assuming that's the Ball Jar Company. So they're Ball
as opposed to just Balls.
That's the Manscaped naming rights.
Manscaped Arena.
But why don't they do a deal with the Rockies and naming right Coors Field and turn it into the ballpark? That just makes so much more sense.
So much better.
It's good.
The Rockies play at the ballpark. I mean, it's right there. But I guess that sweet Coors money is too hard.
And then when Manscaped jumped in, it's the smooth ballpark.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I don't know what's going
off
the
rails real quick.
Yeah.
I can't seem to make this work, which is very sad. Why
go to DNVR Sports on Twitter if you want to check that out. And follow them while you're there. They got all the Denver area.
Oh, wait, is it working?
Oh,
there we go. Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to hit play. And this is like waiting for the goal, waiting for the goal, waiting for the goal. And the goal. Yeah. I mean,
you love
remember
that.
Those days? Those were fun.
Yeah. Looks like West End to me.
Yeah. Looks like almost any bar in Chicago circa 2013, 2015.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. That's all I got to say. I said it yesterday. Good stuff. All you guys in Denver, all you guys in Tampa, enjoy this because there's going to be, you know, days where you're going to be like us and scenes like this are going to make you sad because you used to have it and now it's gone. So, you know, I hope a lot of those people there at the DNVR bar took a moment and to kind of like soak that all in. And those are the things you take away as a fan. I think, you know, with us spending so much time behind the curtain now, and it's our quote unquote job to cover this sport, to cover quote unquote teams.
Job.
Right. I mean, it's not really a job, but you know, they pay us, so I guess technically. But when you spend more time behind the curtain, you kind of lose that rabid fandom. You know, kind of. You totally do. But those are the things that I take away from those cup runs. It's not the goals. It's not the games itself. It's where I was and who I was with when certain goals were scored. And those are the things you remember for the rest of your life. So soak it in Denver. Soak it in Tampa. Tampa, you've had a couple years of this. Coming from a fan of a team that we thought this was never going to end.
It'll
enjoy
end.
Regardless, win or lose this series, enjoy it. Because you don't know if or when it's going to happen again.
Eventually, the salary cap comes for you.
Yeah,
soak up that Malort, too, while you're there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes.
Soak that up.
It might be all soaked up after
last night. I think we messed up a little bit. We should have sent them a case to Old Style, too, so they could do the proper Chicago handshake. And,
then
they could all have horrible diarrhea this morning.
Not just me. Wait, what?
I guess I thought maybe Old Style would be available out there. I don't know what their distribution rights are. Maybe not. But I knew they didn't have Malort, and I knew that was something we had to give.
Old Style feels like it, even though it's like seems like it's readily available, it seems it's more of just a Midwest readily available thing.
I don't know if there's a lot of demand for it anywhere else.
They could tweak it and
is there that much demand for it here though?
I like Old Style. Old Style to me is one of the few beers that's better in a can. And if your uncle is an old Cubs fan, chances are he likes Old Style.
My grandfather,
I think Old Style. Now it wasn't my first beer I ever tasted from my grandpa. That would have been a Meisterbrau. That was his beer of choice.
Nice.
Yeah. In the bottle with the blue label and the lion on it. That's there what I go. Remember. But there was always an Old Style around somewhere. You know, I for 2016 Cubs World Series Game 7, I drank nothing but Old Style all day. That was the last time I ever did that. I was required to sleep in the basement that night, and rightfully so.
I had an Old Style in the basement of this building during the tornado that rolled through here, or tornado warning.
Well,
yeah, hey. Had a tall boy.
That means you have some in the fridge.
You got to get through it.
Well, we had some. I don't know if we drank all of it that night, but there was some. Yeah, we had the tall
desperate
boys.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, exactly.
Tornado coming, drink the Old Style.
They came down the elevator because Sean and Herb, our Sox guys, they decided they didn't care about their lives at all, so they stayed up here to watch the game. And so the rest of us.
I thought you were going
to
say they went on the roof.
So like, they weren't even on the air?
No, they were just watching like the second inning of the Tigers-Sox game, and they're like, yeah, we're fine. It's no big deal. There's never going to be a tornado here.
There's always.
I mean, the sirens were nuts. Like, they were everywhere.
They're the creepiest sound in sirens, too. If you don't know the sound of the Chicago tornado siren, Google it. We were there. Hope and I had it happen to us once. Remember the Cubs-Astros game? I can't even guess what year this was. But there was a lightning strike, and Lance Berkman tore off his jewelry and threw it on the ground. We were at that game and then left because obviously it was not going to happen again. And we were on Columbus Drive, like Columbus and Belbo, and the rain was so thick we had to stop on Columbus. And you just heard those terrifying tornado sirens. They are very off-putting.
No thanks.
Yes. Yeah,
my house is, and then Chucko Mucko, thank you for the correction. Yeah. With Lowenbrau, not Meisterbrau. I got my brows wrong. I apologize. You are 100% correct. Lowenbrau.
I like Chucko Mucko's little avatar there. What is that, like Guy Fieri, but
an ice cube?
Different guy.
Guy Fieri. It looks like Guy Fieri as Commander Riker from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Might be what it is. Actually,
looks like Bam Bam Bigelow's shirt yes. too as well.
I don't know what's going on there, but maybe we need to get Chucko Mucko on the show just to explain his avatar.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Well, let's remind everybody. I know we're having a good time on this show, and I know you're having a good time supporting us here at CHGO. It's great to see all the familiar names and faces and a bunch of new ones lately in the chat. I wonder why. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Do that right now, and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not it. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you'll receive a free CHGO membership. That unlocks all of our free web content, including this morning's player evaluations, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So, $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, including live NBA same game parlay. You can build your perfect live NBA same game parlay only with PointsBet, just in time for what remains of the NBA finals. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and if you want more, you can also boost your live same game parlays, watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And remember, online sign up is available now in Illinois, so get out your phone, download that PointsBet app, and you can register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Game six of the finals tonight with the Warriors up 3-2. So tonight could be your last opportunity to bet on the NBA finals there with PointsBet. But if you're looking for something that doesn't have won't be ending tonight, get yourself some Athletic Greens with their AG1 product. I know if you're having some old style tonight watching the game, it would be good to start your day tomorrow with some Athletic Greens and just kind of get your gut back in order. It is formulated, AG1, formulated to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. And just one scoop of it, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And if you eat different dietary restrictions or different ways like that, like keto or vegan or dairy-free, whatever it is with AG1, you are good to go. It's easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you might be. It's just a small once-a-day habit with big benefits. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's all you need. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
I've been given homework, and I'm glad you reminded us about Athletic Greens, Mario. My wife reminded me that I have not mentioned her taking Athletic Greens enough lately, and wanted to reiterate how much it has helped her gut issues. She takes, like you said, one scoop every morning, and has just, her stomach issues have been pretty much non-existent after maybe like the first week or so of using Athletic Greens. So it's definitely making a difference, you know, especially like in the summer where no one's really eating as healthy as usual. You know, you're out at places, you're where it's softball games, where birthday parties, you're kind of just grabbing something on a run instead of making food at home. That little edge you get from Athletic Greens is huge, and my wife loves it. I take it too. I'm just really bad at anything healthy. I just suck at it, and it's bad for my brand, to be honest. But she loves it. She loves the Athletic Greens. So there you go. I got it in there, and make sure I want to remind people that that is still happening, and she is loving it.
There you go. You and Peck are just like, it's your brands. You can't even think about these things.
Well, but my other business, the I'm Fat podcast, would go out of business if I got too healthy.
I'm thin. The I'm Thin podcast.
Rick Camp is already thinking about booting me because I've dropped under 250.
There's a requirement.
we have a pre-show weigh-in.
Yeah, it's quick, just like
eat
boxing,
these Krispy Kremes. You got to gain 2 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
In honor of Throwback Thursday, here you go. This is for you guys.
Oh, there's the Lone Brothers. Hey. Man, that looks delicious.
That is a label.
Does anyone still do the foil on the cap in terms of beer?
Yeah.
St. Pauli?
Doesn't Stella do that?
Stella has a, I don't know if it's foil necessarily, but they do
Modelo in bottles.
Oh yeah, Modelo.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Stella Modelo does. The only reason I know Stella is because Stella has a 0.0 NA beer that has it on there. So I always have peel
is
away.
That, is it, it Stello? Stello.
That'd be perfect.
That's why you're not in marketing, Lawrence. I have no idea.
You had Strava Java, now you got Stello. Yeah.
It's, right. Hey, I'm we here. Just came I'm up here with for the all ballpark. The brands. I'm here for every brand.
We're in the wrong industry.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we're idea makers here.
It is Throwback Thursday, and it is Steve Larmer's birthday, and I'm very surprised that Gramps didn't respond to my tweet to him about coming on the show today.
Yeah, I mean, he's only sent out 32 tweets in the last 12 years. I would have figured he would have answered.
He doesn't have the notifications turned on. Come on, Steve. Anyway, we'd love any time the open invite for actually open invite for any current or former Black Hawk at any time. There,
absolutely.
Like if John Eves LaRue wants to come on the show or Ryan Vandenbush is bored, we'll pick up the phone. There it's fine.
Go. We got nothing but time for Antown Bibchuk.
Yeah.
Girl number six.
There you
first
go.
Round I pick. Think 33 for a while, too.
Karpatsev?
No, not him.
Ooh,
he's also dead, so that's not going
to happen. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a different podcast.
One of my all-time bad hockey takes. I mentioned when we did the 2010 recap, remembering my friends in section 329, one of my good friends, Wendy, and I, we're dibbing on Blackhawks defensive prospects. I called dibs on Anton Babchuk. She called dibs on Duncan Keith.
Maybe she should be hosting the show.
Let's let it play out, okay? There's still some time here. We don't know. We can't call it just yet. We can't call it for Wendy just yet.
Can you count KHL stats? Does that count towards the overall pile?
I hope to God.
Yeah, there you go. As Jay says in the chat, Steve pops. I know you tried to find that jersey and it was ruined, but yep.
The only reason I brought up Anton Babchuk is because I put the finishing touches on my This Week of Blackhawks history column that's going to be coming out later this afternoon. And Babchuk and Keith were actually drafted in back-to-back rounds in 2002 by Mike Smith. You can read that about and learn about the 2002 and 2003 drafts that Mike Smith was a part of, and those drafts included Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Corey Crawford, Dustin Byfuglien, not too shabby, Adam Birch.
Decent drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, Mike Smith, people argue, was it Dale Talon or He Who Shall Not Be Named that deserves the most credit for those championship teams? Mike Smith deserves quite a bit of credit, too.
Yep, all three of them.
He was weird. Very weird, yes. And wasn't here for that long, but he made a heck of a few draft picks that those cups never would have happened without a few of the picks he made.
No doubt. All right, Greg, Throwback Thursday is your baby, so birth it.
Well, speaking of births, talking about Steve Larmer today because today, 61 years ago today, the world welcomed Steve Larmer in Peterborough, Ontario. Larmer is one of my favorite players of all time. How he's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame blows my mind. I mean, there's a list of guys that I don't know why they're not in, and he's on the top of that list. Another guy I can't believe is not in is another former Blackhawk, Bernie Nichols. How is Bernie Nichols not in the Hall of Fame? Look at his numbers.
Yeah, that's
kinda ridiculous
weird.
Numbers over a long period of time. I mean, maybe he looks too much like Nicolas Cage and that's a rule. I don't know. Tom Barrasso is another guy. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? If you're going to let Grant Fuhr in the Hall of Fame, you got to let Tom Barrasso in. I mean, Fuhr's numbers were worse than Barrasso, but he got to play on those Oilers teams, so that helped.
Wasn't Barrasso the goalie for the Penguins in the
back-to-back cups? Yeah.
Well, there you go. He's got cups. Yeah.
Right. And better numbers. But speaking of really good numbers, Steve Larmer, he had a pretty good junior career up in Ontario playing for his hometown Peterborough Petes before they were officially in the Ontario Hockey League. And then he moved on to the Niagara Falls Flyers in the OHL. His draft season, he put up 45 goals and 114 points in 67 games, and then followed that up with 55 goals and 133 points in 61 games his last year in juniors.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. And, he also averaged well over a point per game in the postseason. So the Blackhawks drafted him. This might be one of the best drafts and probably the best draft pick this franchise ever made as far as value. He was drafted in the sixth round of the 1980 entry draft, 120th overall. With today, that would be a fourth round pick, which is still ridiculous to think a player like
him. Oh, yeah, because they had fewer round. Teams, yeah.
Right. So, but 120th overall, but this is the draft, and I wrote about it in last week's This Week in Blackhawks History column, another shameless plug that you can get access to when you become a member of CHGO. The 1980 draft class featured Dennis Savard in the first round, Troy Murray in the fourth round, and Steve Larmer in the third round. That's a pretty darn good draft class right there.
Pretty good.
Two Hall of Famers in one draft.
Two thirds of what would become the party line, which we're going to talk about here in a second. So Larmer drafted in the sixth round in 1980, played four games in the 80-81 season for the Blackhawks, three more the following year, but 81-82, he pretty much spent the entire season in the AHL for the New Brunswick Hawks. There's a blast from the past. In his lone AHL season, he scored 38 goals and 82 points in 74 games. So, I mean, wherever he went, he scored. And then 1982-83, opening night, he was on you know, the opening night lineup for that game, for that season. And then he never came out of the Blackhawks lineup again until it was his own doing, playing in 891 consecutive games for the Blackhawks during the 1980s, when it was literally legal to Paul Bunyan someone's handoff with your wooden stick and not even get a penalty. I mean, this dude was a warrior. 82-83 season, he was the Calder Trophy winner for being the league's top rookie. And why did he do that? Well, he scored 43 goals and 90 points and was a plus 44 in his rookie season. It took shot at 22%. Those are Brandon Hagel type numbers. He shot at 22% for the season. And people are like, you know, somebody does that today and you're like, well, that's not sustainable. Well, it kind of sort of was, because he shot 16% for his career with the Blackhawks. The lowest shooting percentage he ever had in a Blackhawk uniform was 89-90, when he had 11.7 shooting percentage and still scored 31 goals.
It's crazy. So the Hall of Fame thing is the big hook here with Larmer. Yeah. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm talking about players is you go to hockeyreference.com and look at the similarity scores. Okay. So
I love that tool.
Yeah. So looking at the similarity scores here for his career, Rod Gilbert, Hall of Fame, Joe Mullen, Hall of Fame, Peter Sikora, Thomas Vanek, Daryl Sittler, Hall of Fame, Dino Cicerelli, Hall of Fame, Blake Wheeler, Vincent Domfus, Yvon Cornoyer, and Brad Richards. Those are the similarity scores for his career through 15 years. Joe Mullen, Hall of Fame, Cicerelli, Domfus, Andrechuk, Ullman, Francis, Hall of Fame, Sikora, Arnett, Bergeron, and Tanguay. These are Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers in every basic category here. It is very strange. And one thing that stands out to me is, as we're doing shameless plugs, I wrote about Steve Larmer in my book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Chicago Blackhawks, available wherever you buy fine books. This was kind of the purpose of the chapter on Larmer, is what the hell. All you can find is people around hockey saying it is complete BS that Steve Larmer is not in the Hall of Fame. When Pat Foley was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he used his speech to stump for Steve Larmer. Quote, "I've been fortunate enough to call Blackhawks hockey for over a third of the games they've ever played, and I've never seen a better two-way player come through there. When Steve Larmer left Chicago and went to New York, it was no coincidence that shortly thereafter, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. And who was on the ice in the final minute of Game 7 trying to protect a one-goal lead? Steve Larmer. He would be a worthy recipient of the Hall of Fame induction." It just goes on and on. Dennis Savard, "When I left Chicago for Montreal for the rest of my career, I was never the same player. I miss Larmer more than he missed me." Troy Murray, "Steve Larmer was probably one of the most underrated players in his day in the NHL. Eddie Olczyk, he was so smooth. He picked up the puck off the boards better than any player I've ever seen." It goes on and on and on of other people praising Steve Larmer. And this is just like a three-page chapter. Yeah. when the greats are telling you this guy is one of the greats, believe them. These are the people in the Hall of Fame that, like, they want to protect that, right? They don't want that legacy tarnished. Like, I don't want to make this a Cubs or Sox thing, but, like, when Harold Baines got in, a lot of people saw that as, like, a lessening of the Hall of Fame. Like, he was too borderline, and it wasn't, like, a sure thing. Most Hall of Famers want to protect that legacy. You've got Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer saying, Steve Larmer deserves to be here with us, and it's a crime that he's not. That's all I need to know, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. This guy had the third when he retired, when his streak was snapped at 891 games. It was the third longest consecutive game streak in NHL history. He's been passed up by a couple people since then, but he played 891 consecutive games during the entire decade of the 80s and early 90s, a different type of game, and he averaged well over a point per game while doing it. So it wasn't that he was just playing every night for a really long time. He was doing it and producing over a point per game every time. And he was a great two-way player too. I mean, he never won a Selke. I don't think he got nearly the recognition he should have for his defensive play as well. But you mentioned Dennis Savard and his quote about that. Larmer and Savard were line mates for a lot of the 80s. They formed what they called the party line. And it was Larmer, Savard, and Al Secord. I mean, if that's not your perfect hockey line, I mean, that line had everything you could want. I mean, you had the skill and the speed and the finesse with Dennis Savard. You had the guy like Larmer who will do the hard work and play the defense and score some goals. And you had Al Secord who will score 50 goals on you while punching you in the face at the same time. Like it was amazing. Dennis Savard had a great run. That first run with the Blackhawks was so amazing because who's going to mess with Dennis Savard when you've got Steve Larmer and Al Secord around him? I mean, it's just, he's untouchable. First of all, you couldn't get to him if you wanted to mess with him. If you did, Al Secord was going to rip your face right off of you. So an amazing run for Larmer here. I think with Larmer and that line and those Hawks teams of the 80s, it was just a case of wrong place, wrong time, because unfortunately you had to deal with Wayne Gretzky.
Always and, ran into Edmonton, yeah.
Yep, and you know, it was just wrong place, wrong time. It was hard to overcome that team. No, but not many people did. And it seemed that every year their season ended with disappointment as Wayne Gretzky skated on to the next round. I mean, there's no shame losing to those teams. Pretty much everybody did for about an 8-year period. So, it was just an amazing time for the Hawks, and it carried on. It was like he had that great run on the party line, and then later in his Blackhawks career, it was him and Roenick were like the duo for a while. I know in NHL 94 on Sega Genesis, man, you never lost with Roenick and Larmer, 27 and 28, my friends.
Well, it's a good point because part of it, too, is his personality was such that he was never – one for the cameras. Obviously, Jeremy Roenick was, absolutely. Dennis Savard was always gregarious and good with the media. And Larmer was always the second fiddle or third fiddle on the team he was on. And look, like, I wonder if, you know, when history looks at, I think Nicholas Jalmerson's a really good example of that, right? Like, I think there was one of the stats dudes did something like Nicholas Jalmerson is the best pure defender of his era. He's not even...
Because Jay Fresh did that.
Yeah, and there's not even like he'll never be considered for the Hall of Fame because he was like the fifth or sixth guy on the Blackhawks. That's not fair, you know?
Right,
like if you're on a great team, and I think, you know, Corey Crawford will probably see a bit of that too. Like, well, he's just a product of the team. Like,
yeah.
No,
whenever playing with superstars, when superstars play with other superstars for an extended period of time, it almost becomes a detriment to them. Like, even now with like McDavid and Draisaitl playing together, you almost kind of like the MVP discussion becomes like, well, they're playing, you know, McDavid plays with Draisaitl, plays with McDavid. So of course, neither one of them can be MVP too many times in a row or whatever it is. But it's just like when you get overshadowed, you still can't diminish what that player brought to the table. What, you know, even though Jalmerson played behind Keith and Seabrook. Like, he, like, the Blackhawks probably don't win 3 in 6 years without him role that he did. And and the Blackhawks, you know, the Blackhawks of the 80s and 90s don't have the success that they do without Larmer playing the role that he did. And it's to the point of, you know, current Hall of Famers saying that this guy should be in the Hall of Fame, was a Hall of Fame talent. Like, you know, I don't know the exact, off the top of my head, the exact voting system that the NHL has. I don't if there's a Hall of Fame committee. I don't think it's not like baseball, right, where it's all the writers and they have a vote.
I don't know. Hopefully someday I will.
It's not as transparent. Yeah, it's not as trans. If it is, it's not as transparent as baseball seems to be. But yeah, it just seems like it's a huge omission. And even scaling it down, not even from the Hall of Fame, within the Blackhawks fan community, the calls to be like, hey, give Larmer some recognition and retire 28. Like, that has been going on for years. And it seems like one of the, you know, scaling it down from a Hall of Fame, that seems like an easy task to be like, they should probably do that. Like, we don't need to see anyone else wearing 28 because Larmer was probably the best that will ever wear it.
Yeah.
And
I don't disagree with you. But I also think there are other Hawks of that era that also have an argument. And, like, you know, 7 should be retired. It should be double retired.
It
like,
will be.
Like number 3 is. I know there's a lot of bad blood with Jeremy Roenick, and he's rubbed people the wrong way, and he has disappointed me hugely in his post-playing career. But that guy was the face of the organization for a decade, right? Like, and he is a guy that is still talked about as a hockey player from guys my age and Greg's age. And, you know, like, that was the dude that got us into hockey.
You still see 27 yes. Roenick jerseys all over the United Center.
And anytime I see
a game there in over 20 years.
And I love Lucas Reichel. And I love Johnny Oduya. But anytime I see someone in 27, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. I'm the same way with 28. You know,
yeah,
take it off.
But even
take it off, Henry Jokiharju. How dare you?
Well, Ben Smith.
Look, no, number.
Well,
30.
He's okay. I'll about Smith. That's it.
Eddie Belfour is an all-time great.
Yeah,
but then how do you retire Belfour without retiring Crawford? Like, it just go that. See, that's the dilemma that the team faces. Is like, once we open the floodgates, like, how can we retire Larmer and not Roenick? Well, then how can we retire Roenick and not Belfour? Well, then how can we do Belfour and not?
They'll become the Montreal Canadiens when, like, you can only wear numbers 50 and above.
The answer here is,
in this case, 51 and above.
It's time for a ring of honor. There needs to be a ring of honor.
Don't retire numbers, but put their names up there and honor their legacies.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd be down for
there,
that.
There's the party line. Look at those. Look at those hair.
That picture.
You got Larmer to the left. That's our buddy Al Secord in the middle. And of course, Savvy. They got him to put down the cigarettes long enough to take a picture.
If you're listening to this only, go to the YouTube video and fast forward about the 46 minute mark. This remains one of my favorite hockey photos ever.
It's a great picture.
It's just awesome. It's just such a great photo, and all these guys look like babies, yet somehow still look older than us because it's the 80s.
And if these guys were standing there just wearing regular like polo shirts, and you showed it to somebody today, you would have no idea. And you say, what do these three guys do for a living? Nobody would say professional hockey.
What golf outing is this from?
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, I guess I know where to go when I need to buy a 1987 Honda Accord.
I just like that they're in front of a green screen, and we could probably put them in front of anything we want.
Oh, yeah. Easy. That's true.
We're in Delaware. I always think of that.
Great reference.
For green screen, I always think of Delaware.
The other thing to point
Al
out, too.
Al Secord, by the way, fun tidbit. Al Secord, a professional airline pilot.
Yep.
That was his post-career.
Oh, yeah,
he was flying planes for, I believe, was it United or American? I think it was American. I don't know if he's still, but he was up until at least a couple of years ago, because anytime I would get on a plane, I always try and peek in the cockpit to see if Al Secord was flying. That was one of my life goals. I want Al Secord to fly me somewhere. Maybe he has, and I just didn't know, but that would have been a thrill. Like, holy crap, Al Secord just flew me to wherever.
American Airlines, according to my book.
American, yes. I didn't think it was United, because that would have been way too convenient to tie in with the Blackhawks there.
Of course.
But, you know, Larmer, that game, yeah. that game streak that was important to him, but it wasn't important enough because it was his doing that that ended that game streak at 100 and or 891. Because after the 20 or the 92-93 season, Larmer had kind of had enough. They had Mike Keenan was gone after getting them to the Stanley Cup final and was replaced with Daryl Sutter a year later. They significantly altered the roster. And Larmer was like, I don't want to be here anymore. He knew that his time to win a Stanley Cup was nearing an end. And he just saw the writing on the wall and said, it's not going to happen here with the Blackhawks. And this is the quote directly from Larmer from a 2017 story on him on the NHLPA website. He says, I have no regrets. You can't live like that. I do the same things all over again. The team was going in a different direction, and I was one of the last guys there from a different era. It wasn't a rebuild, but I felt like the team was stuck in neutral. And then he requested a trade, which the Hawks didn't do right away, and he missed the first 13 games of the season in the 93-94 season, causing that Iron Man streak to go away. It wasn't because he got hurt or he was bad and was scratched. It was because he wanted to get the hell out of Chicago because he wanted to go win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And then on November 2nd, 1993, a day that broke my 14-year-old heart, because Steve Larmer was traded. Finally, he was actually traded from the Blackhawks to the Hartford Whalers with Brian Marchment for Patrick Poulin and Eric Weinreich, both fine players.
I hated Poulin.
I hated Patrick Poulin with a passion because he was the guy we gave Steve Larmer for. I'm sure he's a great guy. As I've said before, ode to Jim Cornette. I'm sure he uses his left and right turn indicators. But I was irrationally hateful of him because he was traded for my favorite player of all time. I think Larmer remained a Hartford Whaler legend for all of 2 minutes because then he was quickly traded with a sixth-round pick, Nick Kiprios and Barry Richter. I wonder if he was any relation to Mike, to the Rangers for James Patrick and Darren Turcotte. That's a pretty good deal for the Rangers. Getting Steve Larmer for the remainder of that 93-94 season, they put the A on his sweater right away. And in 68 games, at 32 years old, scores 21 goals and 60 points for that Rangers team. Did that Rangers team do anything? I don't remember. Oh yeah, they won their first Stanley Cup in 54 years. In 23 playoff games that spring, he had 9 goals and 16 points, and he got to raise the Stanley Cup. I mean, I love Steve. I've said it before. I've loved Steve Larmer so much. I rooted for the Rangers that entire postseason, and that never happens. But I wanted Larmer to win a Stanley Cup so bad, and he did, and I was so happy for him. Eddie Olczyk was on that team as well, even though Mike Keenan didn't like to play him much in the playoffs, but that was Mike Keenan. Larmer returned for one final season with the Rangers, played 47 games in the 94-95. That was the lockout shortened season, but he still put up 14 goals and 29 points. The fun fact for that season that I love about Steve Larmer is he scored his 1,000th career point that season, playing in his 1,000th career game. So absolutely 1,000 and 1,000. That's an awesome stat. I love stuff sports for that, those types of fun stats. But Steve Larmer,
nice and clean.
Yeah. Point per game, a point per game, literal point per game average through 1,000 career NHL games.
It's amazing.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame. Screw you, Hockey Hall of Fame.
By the way, I want to go back to something you said about how the Hawks were stuck in neutral. And that's how Steve Larmer said it. So for younger Hawks fans, I think for a lot of them, there's the Kane and Taves era. And then for them, the time before, the Hawks sucked. And that's like kind of their concept of hockey. That's not true. The Hawks were really, really good for a, well, they make the playoffs like 35 straight seasons. And I know it was the NHL back then when it was a lot easier to make the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. But the Hawks were always a piece or two away from a cup. And Bill Wirtz refused to spend the money to bring in the extra
piece. He was happy getting the extra gate from the first round playoff. And if they got beyond that, it was gravy. But he wouldn't. Yeah, he was happy just getting there every year.
And that was the frustration, was you had Roenick and Chelios and Suter and Larmer. And all, and you're like, they're right there. Trade for somebody. Sign somebody. Bring in somebody big. And you'll get over the top. Like, you got Belfour in goal in the prime of his career. You've got depth players all over the place, but they refused to make that one last move or two that would get them over the top. And that's what was the frustration with Bill Wirtz. And then it was, well, I've got these great players who have gotten me this far, and now I'm not going to pay them, and I'm going to treat them like shit, and then I'm eventually going to trade them for nothing. And now the organization is tanked, and that's what happened. You trade Roenick. You get back Alexei Zhamanov, who is a fine player, but he's a number two center, right? And Ty Jones, who didn't amount to anything. You trade Tony Amani for, I don't even remember what they got back for Amani. Chelios, you got Anders Ericsson, who was like a, I don't know, it would be like trading him for Calvin DeHaan, if even that.
No.
Not even that, right?
No, trading, if you were to trade for today's Anders Ericsson, you would be getting Nikita Zadorov.
That's fair. That's a good way to put it.
Because Calvin DeHaan was way better than Anders Ericsson ever was.
Eddie Belfour was traded for Michael Sikora and Ulf Dahlin. When you trade big names like this, you're supposed to get young. This is what we're talking about with DeBrincat. You're supposed to get young players back to rejuvenate your program. The Hawks would just trade for bad old guys just to get the deal done. And that was the frustration. When Steve Larmer says the Hawks were stuck in neutral, that is 100% accurate, because they absolutely refused to do the extra steps needed to become a champion. This was before the salary cap. They could have spent $1 billion on players if they wanted to, but they just didn't. They just refused. Dollar bill was the worst.
Yep. I hated it.
It was bad. That's
the Chelios one broke me.
Chelios for
one was tough.
Roenick was the worst, and then the Chelios one to Detroit just killed me.
Roenick hurt me the most. That one,
all those trades were just awful, and you know, you couldn't get home games on TV. The majority of the Hawks games you got to watch on TV started at 9 o'clock because they were in Edmonton or Vancouver or LA. Just, I don't know. I mean, how I stuck with this franchise as long as I did was beyond me. But you know, that's why when you know they did get that dynasty team going in the 2010s and they were making those moves, you were getting your Brian Campbells, your Marian Hossas, you were getting guys like Johnny Oduya. That's when you were like, oh, that's how you do it.
Yes.
Like,
and that's so why refreshing. That's why for longtime Hawks fans, those moves are so shocking. Like, oh my God, they're signing the big free agent 2 years in a row. Campbell, then Hossa. Oh my God. It was unreal. And just,
like, if you put that team in the 90s, For the younger fans that weren't either alive or paying attention in the 90s, it would have been the equivalent of like taking Jonathan Toews and trading him for, you know, Patrick Marleau at 35. Or would have been taking Patrick Kane and trading him for, you know, Alex Kerfoot, you know, who's a nice player, but not Patrick Kane. Like, it would have been, you know,
is so terrible. Accurate, dude.
Yeah, but those were the trades that would have been made. Yeah.
You just pulled the best possible current name to an old Hawks trade.
That was the first name that came to my head. So, like, that's what it would have been. And it would have been frustrating. And that's how frustrating it was then.
Like, for me, Alexei Zhamanov is the guy you add to the team with Roenick and Chelios and Belfour to get over the hump. Yeah. You need a really, really good number two center, a playmaker that can make Tony Amani a crap ton of money, which he did. That's what you don't trade your best player for that guy. You bring him in too, and that's how you get over the top.
And the fact that they got Alexander for Jeremy Roenick was like a miracle, that they actually got a player that good in return. It wasn't same level.
No.
But out of those awful trades, that was the best one, because you actually got a pretty darn, like, Alex Zhamanov is criminally underrated, and I get why, because he was traded for Jeremy Roenick. So he was put in a position to fail from day one, much like Patrick Poulin.
And they call him Magic Johnson on skates, which wasn't much of a help either for him. He's like, what? I smoked six packs a day. What are you talking about?
but he could have been that if he actually had guys that could score to pass to. You can't be a playmaking center when you have no goal scorers on your team.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just one bad trade after another. And now my day is ruined. I feel terrible. Mario,
it started off going so well.
I know. And now I'm just angry. I'm gonna go put holes in my drywall with my fist.
Mario's like, thank God I didn't live through those times.
Yes.
I was on the very periphery of that. I was just like, at that point, Mario, I was just reading box scores in the newspaper.
I need you to improve my mood and all of our mood and give us something.
Make us some money.
Win.
Yeah.
Make us some money. We've put the pressure of the points bet player of the week on your lap because Jay and I are bad at it. Your turn.
Well, I'm going to try and relax you guys with a nice relaxing game of golf. The U.S. Open starts today. They are out in Massachusetts in Chestnut Hill. The course is called the Country Club.
That's original.
Yeah, so that's a good one. So yeah, U.S. Open begins today. I'm looking at the odds here for on the leaderboards. Current favorite Rory McIlroy at +600, but I'm going to go a little bit further down the list here. And you know,
Scheffler.
for the amount of golf that that I talk about, you should take this pick as very informed. I'm looking at +2800 odds as the outright winner. I'm going with Xander Schauffele.
That name up,
and it's a real person.
Hey, he's already down to +1600. He must have started well because.
I got this bet in early, so
sounds like somebody the Blackhawks are going to draft in the seventh round.
So apologies if his odds aren't the same, but I'm still going to go with Xander Schauffele. That's pretty decent odds without picking the favorite. It's going to be a pretty good payout, and I do love betting on the majors just because. It's something that you can watch kind of play out rather than, you know, in an hour or in 30 minutes or in 3 hours, this bet's going to be over. I kind of like the long play and seeing what happens with one of the major golf tournaments. So I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele, outright winner for the U.S. Open, as Lawrence brings up the current odds here.
I am going to be covering games 1 and 2 of the Calder Cup final starting on Sunday. So I will check with Billy Gardner, we had him on the show a few weeks ago. He is a huge golf guy. I will check with him if that is a good bet. And if he gives us the stamp of approval, then we know it was a good deal.
Well, hey, if Schauffele's still playing on Saturday, that's half the battle already. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
Or wait, does the U.S. Open have – I don't know if this is the right crowd to ask. Is the U.S. Open the tournament that doesn't do cut?
No, there's a cut.
There's a cut? Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. There's a major that doesn't do cut. I can't remember which one it was.
No, you're thinking of the new LIV Golf thing. They just play 3 rounds and there's no cut.
No, I don't know if I'm thinking about that, but yeah,
all the majors have a cut in my world. I cut them out of my viewing.
Perfect for a Saturday nap.
Yep. Well, yeah, so that'll be the pick of the week that will bleed into the weekend, hopefully.
All right, that's our points bet pick of the week. Make sure you sign up on points bet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up, and you get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. We're going to wrap up Throwback Thursday right now. I want to thank Lawrence for producing the show and chiming in as always. We always appreciate that. And a reminder, most of the time,
he's our fourth star of the game.
A reminder about Monday, Turner Sports' Liam McHugh will be a guest on the show. So join us. We'll be here tomorrow, of course, audio only. But Monday, it's going to be a big show with Liam McHugh. And we'll talk a lot of Stanley Cup and a whole bunch of other stuff with him. So mark your calendar, set those reminders, all those great things. Make sure you're subscribed on your podcast apps and on the old YouTubes there. And turn those notifications on so you know when we are live. For Greg and Mario and Lawrence, I'm Jay. Thanks for listening to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.